Es gibt Tage, da geht einfach alles schief. Im Autoverkehr. Im Porzellanladen. Sogar im eigenen Garten. In solchen Fällen ist es gut, eine gute Versicherung zu haben. Gut im Preis und gut in der Leistung. So wie die WGV. Jetzt zur WGV wechseln und sparen. WGV. Gut versichert und gut ist.
Everybody was huddled around the whiteboard in the empty cubicle. I slowly sipped my coffee as I observed this rather stupid event in silence. Pizza party today, one voice yelled from the crowd. No way, Darren never brings anything for us. This thing is lying, another shouted back. It's never been wrong before, a third chimed in. I adjusted my glasses and shook my head. This is just a thought, but maybe you guys shouldn't set your expectations on a random office whiteboard. You can write all the positive messages you want in your own cubicles. I got a severe glare from a couple of my co-workers that made me throw up my hands in defeat and go back to working at my computer. I'm just saying it's stupid, I threw back at the crowd. I was met with shushes, and I'm fairly certain I heard one person call me a non-believer under their breath. They continued to hang around the cubicle and talk, but as the clock struck 11:30, the crowd had long since dispersed. I walked over to my friend, Jim, who was among the mass of people, and playfully knocked on the inside of his cubicle. So, almost lunchtime. Karen left already. What's your point, Tom? He asked, without even turning to look at me. My point is no one has talked about a pizza party. No one asked who likes what, and as far as I know, Darren has been too busy to even consider buying us all pizza. Jim stopped what he was doing and slowly turned to me. With an almost somber look on his face, he just sighed and said, "The whiteboard has never been wrong, man. Ever." I laughed in disbelief. "Dude, we've been seeing messages every day on it for what, 2 weeks? All of them have been stuff like, you'll have a good day, or the weather will be perfect, or everyone will get their work done and leave early. Those aren't predictions, they're just positive messages." "They are, and they've all been right. Also, you're forgetting the more specific ones." "Like?" "It told us Karen was pregnant before she knew she was. The exact day that Mike would bring his dog to work, and that we'd exceed our goal for the quarter." I rolled my eyes at this. "So, someone is a good guesser. Karen has been trying for months. Mike brings his dog every few weeks, and we've been doing well for a while. None of that is a secret." Jim simply shrugged and turned back to his work. "Regardless, it's never been wrong, and it has always been first." I chuckled and started to walk away. "Right, just like the one about the pi—" Before I could even finish the sentence, there was the undeniable smell of pepperoni. I looked to my immediate left, and I saw a group of people crowded around eating pizza. Raising an eyebrow, I walked over to one of the few guys I was semi-close to in the group and asked, "Eddie, when did this happen?" "It's awesome, man," he said excitedly. "Darren rushed in with like 5 giant boxes, all different kinds. Said it was a reward for our hard work and dedication. What a great freaking boss." I kind of just stood there in disbelief. The pizza party was real. "I'll be damned," I said under my breath. I spent the rest of the day in awe, contemplating the fact that the damn thing was right. Ultimately, I settled on it being just a coincidence, but it was definitely a weird one. The next day, people had gathered around the whiteboard again, eagerly discussing the next message. Not wanting to upset the crowd, I refrained from my usual brand of skepticism and simply observed the conversation. Jim walked over to me with a smile on his face and asked if I heard the good news. No, I haven't, I said, shrugging. Let me guess, there's gonna be an ice cream truck at 12:32? He laughed and shook his head. Nah, man, Barbara is getting promoted. She went into Darren's office 10 minutes ago and hasn't come out since. Curious, I looked over towards Darren's closed office. A promotion, hmm? That's news worth everybody waiting around. Yeah, man, he shot back with a wide smile. If Barbara gets promoted, that means she's going to be in charge of managing a lot of the team. Everyone loves that woman. Not convinced, I tried to pry for more. Team management? That's what people are psyched about? Yes, it's such a great thing for morale, and she's been here for years. I'm proud of the girl. Let's not get our hopes up, I said, taking a long sip of my daily coffee. Just then, the door to Darren's office opened up, and he was walking with Barbara towards the group. Large smiles on both of their faces. Everyone, listen up, Darren began. As you all know, we've seen great improvements at this company recently, and I couldn't be more proud of the lot of you. But one person has really stepped up and shown how valuable they are to this group and this company. So, I want to formally recognize Barbara as the new team lead, effective immediately. I looked on in disbelief. Well, I'll be damned, I thought, scratching my chin. At the time, the business with the whiteboard seemed obvious. It had to be Darren writing these messages, as he was the only possible person that could know about the pizza party and Barbara's promotion. Though for the past few days, I'd managed to show up before him and leave after due to some extra work. He certainly had to be the person that was making these so-called predictions. But for the life of me, I couldn't figure out why. What was the point? And wouldn't those two things be better off as surprises? As Barbara gave her mini speech, I decided to slip out of the room and head down to the downstairs vending machine. It was a good excuse, seeing as the vending machine was right next to the security office, and I casually strolled inside. Hey John, I said to the man, monitoring multiple screens. He quickly looked up from his lap, but then relaxed when he saw I wasn't a supervisor. Oh, hey Tom, what's up? I just have a quick question. He raised an eyebrow at this. Sure, I'll answer what I can. Did you notice or see Darren coming into the office after he left any time in the past few weeks? Or maybe coming in early and then going to do something else? He thought for a moment, but then shook his head. No, actually, he's been pretty consistent with his ins and outs. I think you're the only person I've noticed coming in early and leaving late. This didn't add up. There was no way that Darren didn't come here at some point before people saw him. Are you sure there, John? This time, he responded confidently. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I definitely would have noticed or heard. I don't see him when I'm making my rounds, and he usually says hi and bye. Is something up? Nah. Just checking to make sure he wasn't spending too much time on a project, you know. The guy has a family, so I was going to tell him if he was here too long, then I could pick up the slack. I lied. I saw him return a confused look, but then shrug and went back to looking at the phone on his lap. I made my way back to my desk and spent most of the day thinking about who else could have known about the events that took place. My wife even caught me staring off into space at home. I played it off as just being burnt out from working long days, and she simply encouraged me to take more breaks at work, along with suggesting a trip sometime soon to get me my energy back. If only she knew. The next day, I came in a bit later as I slept past my alarm, and again, everyone was standing around the whiteboard in the empty desk. I slowly took my seat and peered at the crowd. Something was off. That day, there wasn't a jubilant conversation. All I could make out were confused whispers. After setting up my computer, I made it a point to walk by the crowd on the way to the kitchen to make my morning brew. I caught a glimpse of the whiteboard, but didn't get a chance to read it fully. I contemplated swallowing my ego and going to the crowd to read the damn thing, but decided against it. I would never hear the end of it if one of my colleagues saw me get caught up in the frenzy that I had called them out for on multiple occasions. I contemplated how to do a second sweep on my way back as my coffee was brewing, but suddenly I heard a loud pop, and I only had moments to bring my arms up to defend my face from flying pieces of the coffee maker and burning hot liquid. The coffee stung as it hit my arms, and my eyes grew wide at the small fire that was now coming from the device. Before I could even think to get help, I saw someone rushing to put the fire out with an extinguisher, and Jim was around the corner helping me to get my shirt off and cool me down with damp paper towels. I looked around, trying to ask what the hell happened, and I saw a small group of employees standing around the corner, looking down at me. Confused, I stood up once Jim had wrapped my arms with bandages and I'd put my shirt back on. I asked how the hell they responded so quickly. But when no one spoke, I became frustrated. Can you all say something? Did you know the coffee maker was broken? Or am I the only one who's suspicious that you all need to come out here so goddamn fast? Mike, who had worked a couple of cubicles down from me, stepped forward and muttered, We read it on the whiteboard. I threw my hands up in disbelief. This again? Are you serious? You expect me to believe that? Coffee makers don't just explode, and you want me to believe it's because of some magic whiteboard? It's true, Tom, Jim said. We read it on the whiteboard. We didn't know who it would happen to, or when, but it said someone would use the coffee maker in the morning, and that it'd explode on them. All we could do was be ready for when it happened to minimize the damage. Are you people for real? I yelled, fully agitated at Jim's comment. Even if I pretended that this stupid thing is real, then why the hell didn't you just throw this stupid thing out instead of letting me get hurt by it? Another one of my co-workers stepped up. Because we didn't know the circumstances of the explosion. Maybe it would have blown up just by us touching it. No one was taking that risk. This really ticked me off. So you just let me take the fall? I pushed Jim out of the way and stormed towards my cubicle. But before turning the corner, I turned back around to the crowd. It's just a whiteboard, you guys. Leave it alone and start acting like goddamn adults. Honestly, I'm surprised Darren didn't make me come into his office for my outburst. But I think at that moment, everyone understood my frustration. The rest of the day went on normally, but I could have sworn that on my way out of work that day, when I glanced at that thing, I saw a smiley face in the corner. And under it was a message that read, "Hi, Tom." Of course, the wife asked me about the burns, and I just told her I had a coffee accident. Honestly, her response kind of made the experience worth it, seeing her wide smile and beautiful blue eyes dance when she thought I was going to decide to sue brought me joy I could never replace. I told her that unfortunately, the amount of time and money it would cost wasn't worth it for me, and I couldn't in good conscience sue the company I had dedicated years of my life to because of some freak accident that they had no control over. The coffee maker had been absolutely fantastic up until that day, and I haven't heard of many exploding or catching fire, so I would take the pain and move on to the next day. Unfortunately, the next day was when things really started to hit the fan. I made sure to get to the office extra early. This time, I wanted to see who the hell was writing these messages and how they were manipulating what was happening in the office. Before I went over, I went down to the vending machine, avoiding the newly placed coffee maker, got as many sodas as I could carry, and then grabbed a chair to stare at the damn whiteboard until something new showed up. To my relief, it was empty. It was 6 a.m. on the dot on Friday, and most people didn't start rolling around until after 9. I knew it was crazy, but I wanted to prove once and for all that the messages being written were by a regular person. 3 hours straight of staring. I didn't look at my phone, I didn't look at my watch, I fought the damn urge to get up to pee to prove that it wasn't some magical force compelling words to show up on this damn thing. All it took was a second. I heard the office door opening and someone calling out my name for me to look over, and by the time I looked back, a new message was on that damn whiteboard. What the hell? That's impossible! I screamed, damn near ready to pull the hair out of my head. I looked away for a second. How could there be something written there? I paced for a second, which caused Mike to walk over to me. Everything all right, Tom? You seem... He stopped mid-sentence and focused on the whiteboard. The colour drained from his face the second he read what it said. I traced his eyes to the words, and my heart dropped when I read along with him. It stated, "Mike will have a terrible accident in the stairwell. He will fall and break his leg so badly that it would need to be amputated. he will see the bones sticking out and pass out at the sight. It'll take 5 minutes for someone to find him, and the pain of the incident will last forever. I couldn't move from that spot. I just read the statement over and over again, as I'm sure Mike was doing as well. Mike, I'm so sorry. He didn't respond. Slowly, people started to show up and gather around the whiteboard. Everyone gave Mike their condolences, but at the end of the day, there was nothing that could be done. We all knew that. Our office was on the third floor of the building, and like clockwork, we all got a memo that the elevators were completely out of order. He could play the waiting game and stay overnight, maybe a few days, but at some point, he would have to come down. I saw a sense of acceptance on his face. As the workday went on, I caught him staring at his computer screen, but not typing. It was like he was trying to decide what time to pick for him to endure the most traumatic moment of his life. Finally, at 2:30, he decided he would go home early and walk down the staircase. Screw this, I thought. There's no way I'm waiting 5 minutes. I waited until he had gotten up, and as soon as he did, I called an ambulance and told them that a terrible accident had taken place. As soon as I got off the phone, I rushed over to the stairwell and I attempted to fling open the door, but found that it was stuck. After a few seconds of pulling, I called for help and yelled that Mike had gone down. Some people rushed over and tried to pry the door open with me, but we all failed. I got the idea to run and find the janitor. He didn't quite understand my sense of urgency, but we finally got him over and told him to help us open the door. He mentioned something about the doors being sticky sometimes and locking by themselves, and while I appreciated his help, I damn near threw him aside as soon as he popped the door open. And there Mike was, unconscious, with his leg bent in a disgusting manner. I could see the bone had snapped clean out of his skin, and it looked like parts of it had shattered around him. As painful as the sight looked, I waited until the ambulance came by to cart him off. I really wanted to go with him to make sure he had someone there, but at that moment, there were much more pressing matters. I rushed upstairs. I was about to march into Darren's office and force him to call an urgent meeting, only to find that it had already been done. Barbara was leading the conversation, and I couldn't tell if she was angry or terrified. "Listen, whoever is writing these messages, it ends today," she scolded. "What happened today was a tragic event, and good or bad, this isn't just an office matter, it's a legal one. If you're responsible for these pranks, step up now and your punishment won't be as severe as what it could be. We will find out who did this, even if you don't speak. Don't make it worse on yourself." One man spoke up. "You think we did this? Who would burn Tom or permanently disfigure Mike? You'd have to be a psychopath." Another followed. "Who even knows how to do those things?" A woman stood up from the crowd. "I think James from HR did it. He likes to pull other office pranks. Who said he didn't do this one?" "You witch," James shot back. "You're blaming me for this? Maybe you're the one doing it and blaming me to cover your tracks." Before long, the place had erupted into full-on chaos. Blame was being thrown around, fear was abundant, and a couple of people damn near came to blows. I could only take so much before standing on a chair and screaming at everyone to calm down until they stopped. "Listen to me," I yelled. "I know we're all confused, upset and terrified. I get it, but we can't blame each other. Logically, none of us would do anything like this to each other. A prank here and there, sure, but nothing like what we saw in these past couple of days. I know I've been a skeptic, but I came in early today and stared at the whiteboard for 3 goddamn hours straight and it was blank. I take my eyes off it for a second, and there was something written there. I know some of you might think that I did it, but we can check the security tapes. I know we have the cameras. I don't know what we're dealing with, but it's something else." The room went silent. I noticed Darren whisper something to Barbara, and she quietly left the room. 10 minutes later, she came back and confirmed that I had been here and that I hadn't written anything on the board, but that she couldn't make out the exact moments when the words appeared. "So, what do we do then?" a voice shouted from the crowd. Darren stood up to face his employees. "You know what?" he said with conviction. "Let's just remove the problem." He casually walked over to the whiteboard, took it from the cubicle wall, and then reached over to snap it in two. He then walked the pieces out into the dumpster and came back bragging that he had solved the issue. "Trashman comes to pick everything up tonight. It's been a rough couple of days, so everyone goes home early today. Let's commit to a nice whiteboard-free Monday and send our thoughts to Mike and his family over the weekend, yeah?" His offer was met with silence and a slow shuffle to our cars. On the way home, I couldn't stop thinking about what I saw. I spent that Friday and subsequent weekend almost silent, not just because of what I'd seen, but because my brain was still trying to contemplate what the hell was behind all of it. My wife was an angel during that time and tried her best to comfort me. I still didn't want to talk about the events, but it made me feel better knowing that she cared. I made time to go see Mike in the hospital, and he made me feel at least a bit better. But still, the painful memories of what I saw persisted. I had seriously contemplated taking Monday off, but I figured that the only way to get back to normalcy was to push past the pain. I tried to keep my normal routine, and even made coffee before walking to my computer. But before I could even try and start my day, a crowd was again gathered in front of the empty cubicle. I sighed and squeezed into the crowd, and I grew cold. I could feel the weakness in my body start to build as I read the message on the freshly replaced whiteboard. Darren dies a horrible death. Perhaps the most chilling thing about the message was the smiley face after those five words. I ran into Darren's office to tell him about the message, but he hadn't come in yet. I asked everyone if they had seen him yet, and everyone assured me that they had been calling and looking, but to no avail. "Damn," I thought, "where the hell could he be?" I had the sense to go outside and check the back parking lot, and once I got there, I made a shocking discovery. His car had never left, and there I noticed it. Her body was slumped forward in the driver's seat. I immediately called 911, and as soon as they were on their way, I ran over to security and damn near threatened John to show me the security footage from this morning and last night. Nothing. I thought for a moment and asked him if he could scroll through Friday night. Our eyes grew wide as we watched Darren leaving late. As he was about to walk to his car, a figure in a dark hood ambushed him from behind and hit him on the back of the head with what looked like a pipe. He then pulled out a knife and slowly started carving something into Darren's still twitching body before finally taking a gun and putting a hole through his chest. Once Darren was definitely dead, the figure fished into Darren's pockets, pulled out his keys, and then pushed his carcass into the passenger seat. Jim flipped the camera, and we watched the person pull into the back parking lot to be less noticeable. He parked, moved Darren into the driver's seat, and then simply walked away. From what I could tell, the figure never tried to take anything or ask for something. They simply killed Darren in cold blood and left. I told John to come with me, and by the time we got outside, the police were already there. We went through the rounds of questioning and showed them the tape, but beyond that, there wasn't much we could do. We simply let them do their jobs, and once they were done, they said they'd be in touch. As you can guess, it was somber in the office, to say the least. Many people straight up quit that day, me among them. As I pulled out of that parking lot, I never looked back. I told my wife that something happened, people were getting laid off, and that all I wanted to do was take that stress-free vacation she mentioned. It wasn't until years later that I finally told her the truth, and when I did some digging into the outcome. From what Jim told me, the office burned down shortly after. Not just ours, but the entire building. everyone had to be moved, or just decided to separate from the company entirely. I kept in touch with Mike a little bit, and unfortunately, yes, they did have to amputate, but he seemed to be otherwise in good spirits. I tried to keep in touch with Darren's case as much as possible, but to this day, the killer was never found, and for such a gruesome crime, the police were absolutely baffled at how there wasn't one iota of DNA from anyone else except for Darren and his car. The only thing they had to go on was the large smiley face carved into Darren's chest. For a while, they thought it was some kind of calling card, and the police tried tying it to other potential and confirmed killers, but nothing ever came from it. All in all, it was a crazy experience, and I don't think it was until later that I realized how lucky I was to come away from it completely unscathed. Some of the burn scars remain, and I drink a little less coffee than I used to. But all things considered, I made it out pretty okay. To this day, I still wonder about the whiteboard in that empty cubicle. But for the most part, I've decided to just let sleeping dogs lie, and in the future, I'll always take things, even if I find them stupid, much more seriously.